players report for training camp on Monday, and here at Railbird Central, we continue our position-by-position preview series. Today, we're joined by Zach Rapport of Acme Packing Company to take a look at the tight ends. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking the start of training camp. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Zach Rapport of Acme Packing Company helping us continue our position-by-position preview series with the tight ends. Zach, how you doing on this Monday morning?
I'm well, man. Thank you for having me. You know, most Mondays I feel a lot like Aaron Rodgers when he threw on the Microsoft Surface tablet there, but it's not every Monday I get to start it all off with some Packers talk over my morning coffee here. So I'm great. Thank you, and happy to be on. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. Let's start off with just, you know, kind of in general introducing yourself. How did you become a Packers fan? I do this with most of our guests. And tell me about your role with Acme Packing Company.
Sure. Well, I am out here in Queens, New York, but I am originally from Milwaukee, and they kind of like, as soon as you're born, they hand you a beer and put a cheese head on you. So you don't really have a choice. In fact, if you're from Wisconsin and you're not a Packers fan, I think most people view that as a personality flaw. But so I've been a lifelong Packers fan, again, now living out here in New York, and I've been blogging and podcasting about the Packers for about 6 years now, just as a way to sort of stay connected with the team and really the people that I care about, and sort of as a creative outlet. And yeah, I'm really thrilled now to be producing the APC podcast over at acmepackingcompany.com, and reached out to those guys and just sort of offered my services. And they were very gracious. Evan Tex Western and Jason Hirschhorn and all the guys over there have been very gracious with me and my team. So that's really awesome. But anyway, the show itself is a weekly podcast hosted by former ESPN Milwaukee host Alex Takis, as well as Ben Foldy, a longtime friend of mine and really smart dude. And we'll have guests throughout the year, like Alex Gelhar. You know, he was on your program, NFL.com, Jason Wilde, and maybe some guys like Antonio Freeman as well coming down the pike. So, but we're in our infancy, we're finding our groove, and we're ready to get weird this year. We're looking forward to it.
Cool. All right, well, let's start our discussion of the tight ends here as training camp opens for the Green Bay Packers. Zach, how much do you think foot surgery has set Jared Cook back from the start of training camp after missing a portion of the offseason program? Kind of a big storyline coming into camp.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good, right? I mean, I was an end to get integrated to the offense. He said himself that when he arrived, the playbook is different for Barry. So you'd assume that he needs as many reps as possible. That being said, he's been around for a while. He's an established veteran. He's put in the work.
Zach, are you there?
Can you hear me?
You're spotty in and out. We'll try one more question here and see how it goes.
Sure.
Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported Richard Rodgers was working with his strength and conditioning with Coach Mark Lovat on his weight. Do you think Rodgers would benefit from weight loss after playing at 272 pounds a portion of last season?
I mean, I guess it couldn't hurt, right? I don't know. You know, with Eddie Lacy's weight being an issue, it seems, you know, Packers fans are kind of projecting a bit of body dysmorphia onto the players. I mean, look, Richard Rodgers is not going to lose 25 pounds and be Usain Bolt out there. But hey, you know, it stands to reason that trimming down would help optimize, you know, what little speed he does have. And I've joked on my show that he runs, like he's also playing a tuba at the same time. So if shaking up his routine can help even a little, you know, I'd say it's a good thing.
Well, you sounded good that answer. So we'll keep going here. Just perhaps regular cell phone interference before. But now, when the regular season rolls around, how do you think Cook and Rodgers will share the field? Who will start? Who will see the most playing time? Will they use a lot of two tight end sets? I have really no clue how these two will be. Share the field, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. Mike McCarthy does play it very close to the vest, even in the preseason, not showing too much. But I think they will share the field. You know, McCarthy has always emphasized the tight end position, and this is as close as he's been in some time to having multiple tools at his disposal. So, you know, Jared Cook should command a lot of attention, but Richard Rodgers' sure-handedness, you know, makes it hard to leave him open too. So I'm frankly really interested and really excited to see what they come up with for these two.
It'll be fun to see, and that's what training camp is for, I think, seeing how they use these guys. Talking about a former Packers tight end here, at least for the time being, do you think the Packers made the correct decision not to re-sign Andrew Corliss in the offseason?
I do. You know, I've learned not to question Ted Thompson with these kinds of moves. He just seems to have a knack for letting guys go at the right time. Corliss struggled from an MCL, I believe. Once he did come back, it was clear that he was not ready. And between his hobbled knee and the incident in Miami Beach where he allegedly fired two warning shots into the air with a semi-automatic handgun and was later found by police hiding in the bushes, you know, I'd say it was a perfect time for Ted Thompson to just wipe his hands of Andrew Corliss.
Yeah, I would tend to agree that that decision by Andrew Corliss kind of probably came back to bite him in terms of, you know, he basically got a slap on the wrist, but kind of showed his decision making is very questionable, to say the least. In general, we're talking.
Yeah, Ted Thompson won't let you have too many notches in that column before he just washes his hands of you.
Yeah, and it's really easy to do so once you become a free agent too. All they got to do is not resign you. So. We're talking to Zach Rapport of Acme Packing Company here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Zach, how much faith do you have in Kennard Backman that he'll emerge as a contributor after kind of a nondescript rookie season? Zach, I lost you again. Are you there? Zach, I are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you're perfect and other times you go in and out. I'm not sure. But you sound good now.
Here. All right, perfect. regarding Kennard Backman, you know, we've seen so little of him. So if you're going to hold my feet to the fire here, I'd say, you know, what faith I did have in Backman is definitely wavering. But with Corliss gone, who knows? I mean, you know, he's a draft pick, so people in the building wanted him there for a reason. We just haven't really seen whatever that reason is, you know, translate onto the field.
After making the Packers roster each of the past two seasons and making a marginal impact, do you think Justin Perillo will be able to make it 3 years in a row?
Yeah, you know, Packer Nation is clamoring for the next, like, John Kuhn folk hero type character, and I say who better than a guy who kind of looks like a beer delivery guy by day and a bass player in a cover band by night, you know. But joking aside, he doesn't have the same frame as a Kennard Backman or even a Mitchell Henry, but he does have one thing that those guys don't have, and that's a touchdown in the regular season. You know, he saw playing time over Backman last year. Was he just a placeholder while the coaching staff sort of worked with their draft pick, perhaps? But again, you know, the release of Corliss and the signing of Cook, who knows? You know, the wide receiver group is getting the most play as sort of the top intriguing position battle here on the team. But for us wonks, you know, the tight end battle is going to be extremely interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I actually thought Justin Perillo was the smoothest runner on the team a year ago, even more so than Kennard Backman.
He's a sneaky athlete. He doesn't look the part.
Yes. Who knows? That might change with Jared Cook now in camp, who's a pretty good athlete himself. Like I said, that's what training camp's for, when we can see these guys on the field. Zach, you alluded to him before. Do you think the Packers have plans in mind for Mitchell Henry after developing him on the season for a season on the practice squad?
You know, that's hard to say, too. They signed him to a futures contract earlier this year, which, if nothing else, keeps him working out in Green Bay for a while, right? So, that's got to mean something. Prognosticate about a guy who was, again, barely visible, last year. We know they like his potential as a pass catcher, but he really offers nothing in the blocking game. And, if he is, quote, in their plans, as you put it, Brian, we'll see that play out here in the preseason and training camp. Say what you will about five pre, that gives diehards like us time to really get a good look at these bubble players in action.
Yeah, time for the coaching staff to see these guys in a game environment as well, as opposed to just practice.
Exactly.
What are your expectations for a player like Casey Pierce, whom the Packers signed as a free agent in the offseason?
Honestly, as a fan, I think it's healthiest to have no expectations for an undrafted guy like Casey Pierce. I'm sure many of your listeners let out a collective "who," when you said the name Casey Pierce. I'd be lying if I said, I had my Kent State film pulled up here and I've been crunching it all night. Guys like this go undrafted for a reason, but he's got a good body size. He's 6'4", 242 pounds, which is right in that sort of JerMichael Finley-esque wheelhouse that they seem to be modeling the position after these days. He's supposed to be an aggressive pass blocker with really soft hands, but no real speed to speak of. We'll wait and see. I know it's not a bold prediction, but I really don't have any expectations. He's a camp body, so it would be, a great story if he made the cut.
Yeah, I think when you have no expectations, anything he does would be pleasantly surprising. So I don't think there's many Casey Pierce experts out there, but that's what this show's for, to break down to the diehard fan who these guys are a little bit. Zach, before we let you go, I mean, what's on tap for your next Acme Packing Company podcast?
So this week we're going to be talking to Alex Gelhar, a fantasy writer at NFL.com and Wisconsin native, who I believe was on your show recently as well. And we're going to try to talk some Packers-specific fantasy football.
Sounds good. We'll send our listeners there to listen to your podcast. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate getting your insight. Was good little discussion, and we'll do it again.
Thanks a lot for having me, Ryan. Sorry about the phone difficulties. We'll get it right next time. And go Packers.
Sounds good. Go Pack, go. Zach Rapport of Acme Packing Company joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Yeah, I don't know. He kind of went in and out a few times, but when we could hear him, he sounded great. So hopefully that wasn't too bad from a listening standpoint. But let's continue on with the rest of the show here today.
Packers news of the day.
All right, so for the 59th straight year, the Green Bay Packers moved into the dorms at St. Norbert College in De Pere for training camp on Sunday, a day before players are required to report to camp. You may have seen news coverage of the players moving in with St. Norbert providing oversized beds for the humongous football players. I know I read an article at the Green Bay Press Gazette interviewing veteran J.C. Treader along with rookies Trevor Davis and Blake Martinez about moving into the dorms where the players mostly sleep and they might have a few meals there. But practices and meetings are still held at Lambeau Field in surrounding facilities. For the most part, it's a bonding experience for, I think, it's really, to tell you the truth, it's only about half a training camp that they spend at St. Norbert. So I think they do it for 3 weeks, and then they allow the guys to move back into their homes, and understandably so. I mean, especially those that have families and stuff. I mean, they can go stay in the same house as their family. But, I mean, it's good, though. I mean, for 3 weeks, basically, they get to bond. They get to know the new players and really an environment for them to talk football and get to know each other and really kind of build that bond as a team the whole season. And this is where it starts here, or at least this is where it continues. Probably starts during the off-season program when these guys were first practicing. But yeah, definitely a cool tradition that's been around for a long time. Kind of thought that the Packers are the innovators of training camp back when Curly Lambeau used to host them at Rockwood Lodge just outside of Green Bay way back in, you know, what was it, the, I don't even know what decade, the 50s, the 40s, whatever it is, way back when, kind of a precursor to today's modern training camp. But the Packers keeping that tradition of staying at nearby St. Norbert College, just a few miles away. And it's really cool, really cool thing. So enjoy training camp, those of you that are going there. In other Packers news, Aaron Rodgers finished in 32nd place in the American Century Championship Golf Tournament over the weekend with 24 points in the Stableford scoring system, I believe it is. He finished just one spot ahead of another former Packers quarterback, Jim McMahon, who was in 33rd place. However, the best finish by a player with a Packers connection was former wide receiver Sterling Sharp, who finished tied for 8th place with 50 points. So there's your American Century Championship update here at Railbird Central. I don't have too much to say other than that on a celebrity golf tournament. But in other Packers news, wide receiver Ty Montgomery was named Sunday evening as the this year's host of Clubhouse Live, the weekly Packers talk show produced by the USA Today Network Wisconsin Bureau and filmed at the Clubhouse Sports Club and Grill in Appleton. I know previously David Bakhtiari and John Kuhn and Tom Crabtree, they all hosted the show, but this year it's Ty Montgomery's turn. So that should be fun. Apparently with his first episode being September 12th, once the regular season begins, and then they kind of get into a swing of a weekly show after that with, I don't know, maybe they take off the bye week, but basically week after week, pretty much through the end of the season. So be getting to know Ty Montgomery quite a bit better this year. If you're like me and you like to check out Packers talk shows on the internet, and you'll be able to do so quite a bit this year with Ty Montgomery. And elsewhere, Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers will apparently be interviewed by the NFL either today or tomorrow in regards to an investigation into PED use brought to light by a documentary by the now defunct Al Jazeera America, albeit the parent company Al Jazeera is still in business elsewhere in the world. What will come of it and how much we'll learn about it remains to be seen. I tend to think we're not going to learn very much, but we'll find out in the next couple days after the interviews take place. I really don't have much more to say on this. There's really been, we've learned nothing new since the allegations were first made on this documentary. Nothing new has come to light. There's maybe been a little squabble between the players' union and the NFL about whether the players can even be interviewed, but the NFL has insisted they can, and I don't see why they can't. Why they can't just ask questions? That seems to me that should be allowable. Anything new we'll learn? We'll see. Like I said, the interview is taking place today, tomorrow, sometime here. And we'll just have to wait for an enterprising reporter to provide more details, I suppose. But that leads us into the next segment of the show.
The day ahead.
All right. So many of the players may have moved into the dorms at St. Norbert already, but players are required to report by 6 o'clock a.m. Central Time on Monday, according to ESPN reporter Rob Domofsky, who I saw say that on social media, which should have allowed even quarterback Aaron Rodgers ample time to arrive in Green Bay after playing in a golf tournament in Nevada over the weekend. That should allow him ample time to get back to Titletown, assuming there were no travel difficulties. But the first day of camp is basically full of housekeeping duties. Players have meetings, and then they get their physicals out of the way. And you know, every year, despite having months away from the football field last season, There's always a few players that are withheld from practice at the start of training camp. This is like an annual event. You're guaranteed somebody's going to be put on the PUP list to open camp, if not multiple players. Who they are, I'm not really sure. The players we're keeping an eye on, or you should keep an eye on, are guys like Jordy Nelson and Ty Montgomery, offensive lineman T.J. Lang and Corey Linsley, tight end Jared Cook, who we talked about earlier, and linebacker Sam Barrington, all of whom have had various injuries at some point and limited them during the offseason program. Sometimes it's just the team taking a cautious approach, and you could easily see them doing that with a player like Nelson. But maybe he'll be ready. We'll see. I mean, they want Jordy Nelson to be ready for day one of the regular season. The Packers really could care less if he, plays in a preseason game, really even participates in training camp. I mean, in an ideal world, he would be able to be ready to practice every day and get ready for as much as possible. But the end game, the end goal, as long as he's healthy by the start of the regular season, that's pretty much all they want. I mean, his prep time could be rather limited. And I'm sure just from being around a veteran for so long, what Jordy Nelson is eighth, ninth year, whatever he's entering here, he knows the offense and needs very little prep time in order to play, just as we saw with James Jones last year. Heck, he wasn't even in training camp with the Packers. They signed him just 3 days before the start of the season after he was cut by the New York Giants. He comes in week one, is ready to go. I mean, that's all they need with Jordy Nelson, really. So you could see them maybe taking a cautious approach. But I mean, Jordy Nelson has now had enough time to recover with his injury taking place, nearly a year ago. Well, we'll say 11 months ago. He's getting back to the point where he should be able to practice pretty soon. Maybe they kind of limit his snaps during practice and kind of bring him back piecemeal a little bit. Maybe something comes out of the blue here as well. These guys who had off-season surgery, like T.J. Lang and Jared Cook, those guys, just kind of recently had, surgery, and maybe they'll start on the PUP list. We'll see. Like I said, somebody always does. And we probably won't know who did or didn't pass their physicals until the players actually take the field on Tuesday, however. So I wouldn't anticipate learning that information today. Mike McCarthy has a press conference to open training camp at 10 o'clock a.m. on Monday. So once again, they probably won't have completed their physicals by then, or McCarthy just won't know, the results of the physicals yet. So the coach probably won't have much to offer to that on Tuesday. If anything, I don't think Mike McCarthy has said anything about Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers since it's been known the NFL will investigate them or interview them. So I kind of anticipate that being the story of the day. Kind of the first time that Mike McCarthy comments on it, how much he'll have to say about it, or I doubt will be a whole lot. But, just with that taking place here in the next day or two, that'll be the storyline for a day at least, until we actually see the players out on the football field tomorrow and see who's out there and who's not. But kind of looking ahead here, the first practice at Ray Nitschke Field is tomorrow at 8:15 a.m. Central Time. So the first week of training camp, yeah, they get going early in the morning. So if you want to watch the Packers practice, you're going to have to wake up early. And then there's a Mike McCarthy press conference to follow practice tomorrow at approximately 10:45 a.m. So, about a two-hour practice, and then Mike McCarthy afterwards will talk a little bit about what happened. So we'll have a lot more to talk about then on Wednesday's episode of Railbird Central, where we can actually talk about some things that happened on the practice field and talking about who wasn't practicing. We'll know if anybody's on the PUP list by then, and who knows, maybe we'll have something to say about the investigation into Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers as well. We'll see what transpires between now and then. But that will pretty much do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us today. Thank you to Zach Rapport of Acme Packing Company for joining us and talking a little tight ends this morning here at Railbird Central. Pretty much bringing to a conclusion our offensive side of the football in our preview series. We'll be talking about the defensive side of the football coming up here as training camp is just beginning for the Green Bay Packers. So looking forward to that. But that'll do it for today's episode. My call to action is always as usual. If you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. And give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long, but it helps us get word out about the show and helps people find the best and longest tenured Packers podcast on the internet. This show airs at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, typically. So that's when you'll be able to catch us podcast and on demand later in the day. And that'll do it. Like I said, folks, we'll see you later. Have a good Monday. We'll be talking about action on the football field, actually, on Wednesday. So we'll see you then. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack, go. Clean.